Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, let's talk about Ukraine. A lot of people have different feelings about this. From where I'm sitting, it looks like Putin has come in, he's going to stay in the Crimea, and there's very little anybody can do about it. And he has a certain amount of history with him, doesn't he?
Well, he does. Let me back up a little bit so you know where I'm coming from around this, because, in fact, in central and northwest Connecticut has a significant Ukrainian population. Earlier this month, I spent a Sunday talking with folks at St. Josephat's, which is a Ukrainian Catholic church in New Britain. And many of the families there have extended family members in Kyiv, which they like saying Kyiv because, in fact, Kiev is the Russian pronunciation, and they're not too fond of Russia before this and less so now.
Interesting. It's like sort of like Cubans in the United States, the people
exactly,
who can't
which is why it's also Ukraine and not the Ukraine,
right?
Because the Ukraine was a possessive used by the Russians. They think this should be their turf. So I'm hearing their concerns loud and clear. From my position, and I think most, almost every American, you know, Putin's actions are entirely unacceptable, and we need to help stand up for the sovereignty of Ukraine. Clearly, I think that means assistance in the form of guaranteed loans, and it means very strong economic sanctions against Russia. Currently, this week, the Senate is considering legislation, and the House will be as well. And I expect this will be brought up for votes either later this week or next week. And it's very important that we take a close look at that.
So do you think he'll care? I mean, is there...
I think we have to make him care, and that's why we need strong sanctions. Currently, we have sanctions against individuals. I think those should be ratcheted up. For example, I would like to see our colleagues in the EU and the European Union really join us in forceful sanctions. That's going to require, frankly, the English and German banks to get serious about clamping down on the plutocrats and the oligarchs who are friends of Putin's. I think if we squeeze their assets and make them unable to visit their, you know, palatial places in London and in Paris, they may talk to Putin and tell him to back off a little bit.
I wonder who's doing the talking over there, whether he talks to them or they, you know,
well, I think
here,
it's,
I
suspect they talk closely to each other. But there's a particular Connecticut element to this that I want to highlight.
Interesting.
Which came up, in fact, last year as part of the defense budget. I helped lead a charge with other members of Connecticut to protest the Defense Department's decision to spend $500 million with a contract with a Russian arms company for helicopters to be delivered to Afghanistan as we are leaving Afghanistan. Now, with Connecticut being the home of Sikorsky, and in fact layoffs happening just this past month of 600 workers, it seemed to me unacceptable is too soft a word that we would be spending U.S. taxpayer money to buy Russian-made helicopters, regardless of the fact that the Afghanis might prefer the simpler Russian helicopters. So we are now in close consultation with the Defense Department and with the administration, have sent a letter asking Secretary of Defense Hagel to cancel any outstanding orders for these helicopters. I think it is completely beyond the pale that we would be supporting a Russian company, a Russian arms dealer, and we know that the Russians are the main arms supplier to the Assad regime in Syria, where we have a true human crisis with what's going on in Syria. And so even aside from the situation in Ukraine, we ought to be canceling this order. But this gives renewed strength to the moral as well as political imperative of canceling that order.
Do you worry that some of this is leading up to another sort of Cold War mentality, and the defense people start to talk about, you know, we need more to do just when we're going sort of in the other direction?
Well, I think we have to figure out how to be effective with Putin. That really is, it is very important. If you, and I'll flag one piece as well. I'm concerned somewhat, too, because we helped convince, with the breakup of the Soviet Union, we helped convince Ukraine to give up their nuclear weapons. And if the net result of that would be that they get annexed by Russia, that sends a dangerous message around the world. This was something I was, there were a group of senators and House members, Democrats and Republicans meeting. We meet on Thursday mornings for briefings on issues of national security and foreign affairs, and that is a serious concern. I mean, Ukraine considers itself to be independent. We need to help them maintain their independence, and it is a very bad message more broadly in the world if we don't ensure that they can maintain their integrity, in part because of the message it would send about the value of having nuclear weapons. If you are North Korea or you are, you know, Iran, and you can maintain independence by keeping weapons, and if you're Ukraine and do the right thing, you get overrun, that is a very bad message to have out there in the world.
Do you think he's done, Putin's done, or do you think he really has sort of Hitler-esque objectives here?
I certainly hope that the special Russian connection with Crimea will be the end of it, but I think we would be unwise to assume that. I think we have to keep a very, very close eye. And again, that is why it's so important that the U.S. and our colleagues in the European Union ratchet up sanctions and make it quite clear how unacceptable his behavior is. I mean, we've just kicked him out of the G8 right now. Mm-hmm. And that's going to begin to have, that will have consequences for him. The Russian economy is not very good. And if they begin to be very restricted in their ability to, say, sell natural gas to Europe, it is going to squeeze their economy. Just as it may hurt the Europeans, somebody is certainly going to squeeze the economy of Russia quite a lot.
Well, so the natural gas thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we're not allowed to sell our national gas outside the country, as my...
Well, there's discussion right now, particularly vis-a-vis Russia, and to be honest with you, I've got to look at those issues extremely carefully, and I am not an expert in that particular piece. There is a lot of discussion now about whether there ought to be modifications of our ability to sell into, say, Ukraine, and we do need to look at those.
I know I'm going to get myself into trouble and probably you, but I want to ask you a question. What about fracking? You know, there's this huge debate here in this country. Now the Russians say, okay, we're going to charge it twice as much to the Ukrainians. There's a move here to sort of alleviate that pressure. And there will be some people who say, I'm not one of them, but we have to frack in order to supply that.
Well, what it underscores is we need a comprehensive national energy strategy. That's something that in the Science Committee, and frankly, it actually comes up in the Transportation Committee as well, where we have jurisdiction over pipelines. There are serious, very serious safety and environmental concerns. Yep. That with our close proximity to the Marcellus Shale is a great concern. And make no mistake, you know, certainly oil and natural gas are important, but so is clean water. And one of the very important issues around fracking has to do with contamination of our water supplies. We have no substitute for clean water. And we have various options when it comes to energy, but we have no options when it comes to clean water. And that is a reason, if you look at the interconnectedness of the groundwater supplies in the Northeast, fracking in one place, if it's done in ways that damage the groundwater, don't just stay in location. So it is an issue we need to be extremely careful about, and I support the efforts that are being done on the scientific side to really ensure that whatever we do in this regard, yes, we need energy supplies that are cleaner, but we need them to be safe and not just in the extraction process and the distribution process, but also, frankly, with the clean water issues.
Congresswoman Elizabeth Estey, Democrat of Connecticut's 5th District, always wonderful to talk to you because you are a good talker and a very clear thinker. So when we come back the next time, I want to talk about gun control.
All right. Sounds good.